Everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast. I, as always, am your host, Eric Bertzloff, better known on Twitter as @DynastyTrades. Joined by my two co-hosts, Nathan and Dan. What's going on, guys?
Hi, Eric. Glad to be back.
Okay, wow, Dan. That's a fun intro. I'm going to say I'm glad to be back, and we're rocking and rolling. And we're just showing how we are such a great podcast that we're going to talk about some news later on that happened 10 days ago. So that's really good.
No, to be fair, we recorded last Thursday, and then the news broke like a day later that like Zeke was going to be suspended, like all the trades. So I like stuffed, I don't know if you guys even listened to the pod, but I stuffed like a 5-minute explanation of what I would do as far as dynasty values go. So
basically all of your opinions were wrong.
They're exactly right. All right, I digress. So we have a fantastic guest, one of literally my favorite people to listen to on my podcasts. We're joined by Dynasty Rich Dotson. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, finally. I've been sitting here for months upon months waiting for you guys to invite me on. Sitting here in front of my computer, and I'm finally on. So, fine. All these aches and pains will be going away when I finally get up and move after this.
Yes, all right. Well, man, that must have been tough just telling us it's going to be two more weeks over the Twitter DMs, man. That's it must have been just soul crushing for you.
Well, I'm finally here, and I'm really happy to be on with you guys. I said one of my favorite people to converse with on Twitter. So finally, good to be able to talk to you in person.
Yeah, and like I said, you're one of my favorite podcasts. That is no BS. The top of the listens. If you guys don't listen to the Dynasty Nerds podcast, I would strongly recommend you do so. Also, Rich owns DynastyNerds.com, runs the thing. It's free Dynasty content. So if you're out looking for additional Dynasty content, if you want a second podcast to listen to, his is a great compliment to our podcast. They're silly there too, and probably smarter. Actually, they're definitely smarter. So
We have no problem being number two. Number two every day.
I'm pretty sure in the ratings we are the number two, my friend. We are the number two. So we are going to do some dynasty chat today, as always, and we are going to talk about some of our deep stashes for this upcoming dynasty league. Basically, not necessarily buy lows, but guys that we are throwing on our benches if we've got large rosters and if we have large something.
A convenient pause there.
Yeah, I try to keep it. I try to keep the listeners guessing what's coming next.
My roster is the only thing large I got going on in my life right now.
Yeah, I mean, and I believe on your pod, you informed everybody that it was a pretty quick one too, huh, Rich?
Every night. Well,
efficiency is key.
Once a week.
So we're going to talk deep stashes, and then we are going to play Two Truths and a Lie. And we are going to talk about the players in Two Truths and a Lie that all these big news cycles happen to. So we are going to talk about J-Matt Jordan Matthews, Tyrod, Ezekiel Elliott, and then Sammy Watkins. So players directly impacted by the moves, and players that were literally involved in the moves. So before we get into that, I just want to let everybody know you can get a listeners only 30% discount to RotoViz NFL Pass. That's through the NFL podcast homepage at RotoViz. That's rotoviz.com/podcast. Now's your opportunity to get in for a discounted price for the upcoming season. The RotoViz content is fantastic. So your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our content, and it also helps support the pod. So you can contact us via email. That's at rotovizradio@gmail.com or on Twitter at rotovizradio. With that, I almost did it, Nathan.
You almost said it.
All right. My crutch was avoided, and let's get into the show.
All right, tonight in our first segment, we're going to be talking about some deep dynasty stashes, and
I
will
like
actually kick us off.
All right, Nathan, that was like a you're like all right.
All righty, mate. There we go. Australian.
Yeah, not British. It was British before. Now it's Australian.
This isn't Dynasty Courtroom. This is Dynasty Stashes, and my stash that I'm looking at, and so people who have been listening to the pod for a year and a half now, they will know that I called the shot on Tyreek Hill last year as a waiver wire pickup in August, Eric and Dan, they said I was an idiot, said it was a waste of my time.
No, we said who is that? Who are you talking about?
No, I got actually angry with him when he recommended that because of the whole pregnant girlfriend thing and all of that. I was physically angry. I'm like, we're not talking about that. And then of course he blows up.
Yes. Well, my pick to be this year's Tyreek Hill on the field is Chad Hansen. It's a matter of going to the NFL draft and the draft stock that you can look at, you know, who is picked in the third, fourth, and fifth round. And most of the time, guys who are picked there end up being, you know, late second, early third round rookie draft picks. But when a guy is picked in the fourth round, you know, top 120 range of the NFL draft, and he ends up going undrafted or late fourth, early fifth round of rookie drafts that go that deep, that's the type of target that I'm looking for to become the possibly the next Tyreek Hill. And then the other thing with Hansen is that obviously the Jets depth chart is a mess. Quincy Enunwa is out for the year. Robbie Anderson might get suspended. And if he isn't, then he's maybe not even that good. So I like Chad Hansen a lot as a stash. He had 92 catches for 1249 and 11 touchdowns in his final season at Cal. So, I mean, he's a guy that didn't really do anything prior to that, but, you know, he showed some flashes, and now he's on a team with Baron Depchart.
What is – I mean, like, as a guy who doesn't even know who that is and is in Dynasty pretty heavily, so I guess what comps are we talking about for this Chad Hansen fella?
Tyreek Hill. There you go.
All right. That's it, huh?
I love Chad Hansen, man. I'm right with him.
I guess
on my short list.
Rich, where in your mind, if you're in a dynasty draft, are you just like in the fourth round, just throwing a dart at the wall kind of guy? Or is he like, you're reaching up a little bit further than that?
Well, I mean, if you've been listening to my podcast, I've been talking about Chad Hansen now for a couple months as well. And I know, like Nate said, you know, he's only had that 1 year at Cal, but you know, a guy that runs a 4.53, who's 6'2", you know, 202 on a team that's completely decimated with lots of opportunity to grow there. He does have a lot of upside. So like when you look at somebody as a stash, he's like the perfect guy that if you're getting him in the fourth round of your rookie draft this year, and if you're doing a startup or something along those lines, I mean, you can get him for almost free. And sure. The upside there, opportunity, because we all know a lot of times it's just opportunity in the NFL. Just to even get that opportunity could be something that's hard to come by. And this guy's definitely in line because he has no competition. Now with Enunwa out there, I mean, you have Robbie Anderson who's looking okay, but I mean, we might see this year some flashes of Chad Hansen. So I love him as a deep stash.
All right. I can't argue with that. Dan, throw your deep stash out there, man.
Well, I've got a couple. I'm going to start with one that I'd probably be more targeting in like a tight end premium or a really deep, like super deep league. And that's Ricky Seals-Jones. Wide receiver convert, new tight end, Arizona Cardinals. They've got nothing there. And I mean, historically, they don't really use tight end all that much. You know, Jermaine Gresham's on the roster. They have like Troy Nicholas, who is a blocker. but dude's kind of a freak and he's been playing all right in the preseason. So I think if it's a tight end premium type league or you have tons of roster spots and you just need to fill them, I think that's somebody who could really have a lot of upside and just kind of sit there, whether it's on a taxi or actually on your roster.
I think that the number one complaint that people have about those who play in Devy leagues is that we end up caring about the Ricky Seals-Jones of the world. Ricky Seals-Jones was a Devy prospect like 3 years ago.
So, but he converted, and he's looking sharp out there.
Yeah, he that has to be a 30-plus roster spot league for me to even consider Ricky Seals-Jones. But because I'm a Devy guy, I'll respect it because he was a Devy pick a few years ago.
I knew you'd like it. So my actual like stashes or sleepers, I guess if we want to go that route. I've talked about Brandon Oliver on this podcast as a sleeper for like a year
you're still
and a
half.
I'm not going to go there.
All right.
No, I'm not going to go there even though he still is. as far as like a sleeper, I'm going to go Jeremy Curley. There's going to be a lot of passes thrown in San Francisco because that team's pretty much atrocious. And, I mean, he produced all right last year, and they have Pierre Garçon now, but they also have a much better quarterback in Brian Hoyer. So I think they're going to be throwing a lot. I think he's in kind of set up nice to be a slot guy there, assuming health. You know, he might have to battle with Marquise Goodwin a little bit as, you know, he's kind of the flash-in-the-pan guy. But I think Curley could really bring some nice end-of-bench depth and bring in some points to a team in need on a bye week or an injury.
I guess, Rich, let me ask you how you feel about Brian Hoyer as a as a really self-proclaimed Browns fan?
Brian Hoyer to me is a guy that's solid. He's a really good backup that could spot start. This year, I'm actually a little bit, if I had Brian Hoyer, I'd be a little excited about it. I got him in the Scott Fishbowl, and I'm excited about it because Kyle Shanahan has that history of first-year quarterbacks coming out and having success. Having Pierre Garçon does give him a solid receiver to go deep with. They're probably going to be behind in a lot of games, playing some catch-up as well. So I think this is a great year to have Brian Hoyer on your roster. I mean, anytime you have a guy to start Brian Hoyer, that you're in a pretty good position.
Speaking of deep stashes, in your two QB leagues, he's probably not out there, but if you do need a spot starter, that's somebody you could throw on the end of a bench if you are super light at quarterback as well. The curly pick's interesting, Dan. I mean, I've kind of been on the bandwagon where Garçon was a value for a long time, and now I'm kind of like, whoa, why is Garçon worth an early second round pick or mid second round pick now? So maybe this is kind of the hedge against that if you're a guy with Garçon.
You know, I don't love to hedge, but I guess you could go that route. It's more of a Shanahan thing. You know, he really does like to lean on his top guy. But at the same time, if you look at his past, there's always that secondary option that brings in enough to be worthwhile and to have, you know, as a backup plan. Maybe Garçon does go down. I don't think Curley would be the one there. They have some other bodies, some other youth, but I think I
mean,
he's
who
a nice
who else is the other?
Belt.
Who are the other bodies there? I mean, it's all youth, right?
Well, Marquise Goodwin, and then you've got like DeAndre Smelter, who's just a monster of a human being.
But going to happen, you know, sure.
Trent Taylor, he might be a good slot guy in the near future, but there's really not much. I think Curley being there, it just might be some free points.
Because he was productive. I mean, I remember a couple of weeks where he had nearly double digit target or catches rather, and then he ended up getting injured last year, as I recall.
Yeah, he got peppered a few weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, that was like – he was like the DFS free play for, you know, 20 PPR points on, like, DraftKings. So this podcast not sponsored by DraftKings, but you can ring our phone if you want DraftKings. all right, do you have any others? There were two listed there, Dan. You want to just hog this entire section?
No, let's move. Let's give somebody else some microphone time.
I want to give Rich the microphone and see who he's stashing.
I don't know, like, sometimes it's so hard sometimes to, like, get a deep stash guy just because in Dynasty 1, it's kind of hard to have players that nobody knows about anyways.
Right.
Like Ricky Seal over there, you know, the only Seal
I know. Yeah, I was about to say, we don't have to name people who nobody's.
when I look at deep stashes, I'm looking at, like, late round second play, you know, players that were taken last year, late round players this year. I mean, is Danelle Pumphrey, is he a deep stash?
Yeah, you kind of stole – that was going to be my guy, so we can pivot into him. But, yeah, I would consider him a deep stash.
We're talking about guys all-time leading rusher who's going to mimic his game after Darren Sproles. I mean, what a good spot to be in. I mean, he's somebody – for all those rookie running backs, I kind of want to stash at the back end of my roster.
Well, there's also shining reports of him out of camp too, which I think it's interesting because we've kind of had a conversation about, like, how to interpret camp reports. And it's like, if there's smoke after smoke after smoke, there's probably fire coming down the line. And this is like a guy where I think he's in a PPR league, especially, he's the kind of guy that's essentially free that you can have on your roster who could actually be productive this year.
Yeah. It's somebody that you can sit on like that. And it's weird when people say free agency, cause I don't know how you guys run your leagues too, but like, we try to design our leagues where we have 30-man rosters and you own the rights to rookies for 2 years. So for us, we've got to pick people off the waiver wires, like slim to none to happen. But I understand a lot of people don't do that. So, yeah, a guy like that are like fourth-round, fifth-round rookie picks in a lot of people's drafts are on people's, you know, waiver wires.
Yeah, and I think that it's worth mentioning because your long-running league, how long has the Dynasty Nerds League been running, like 12 years?
15 years, I believe.
Good Lord. So it's been running 15 years. And the format, I think, is super interesting for developing players. And you've talked about it on your pod where you're having just huge rosters and then also the rights to rookies and letting them develop. Actually, I just started a live draft league in Denver where we basically implemented those exact rules. A little bit shallower rosters, but basically you can keep guys on your taxi squad if you don't promote them for 2 years without – it's an unlimited taxi squad. So it's something that's – a super cool way to do a dynasty. And that's probably the purest way to do a dynasty. Is like that.
Over the years, we've like after tinkering with it for so long, I think we established those rules maybe like 6-7 years ago, but that's what we've come to conclusion, the best way to run our league. So we think gives you the most ultimate satisfaction in the end of building a team. Because, again, I mean, when you play Dynasty, isn't that the whole thing? To mold your own image of a team, not just to get lucky off the waiver wire. I mean, that's for redraft. So, you know, the deeper the roster, the least amount of free agency. And, again, I mean, you're at Dynasty trades. It's, you want to push trades and rookie drafts.
So, I guess, do you guys have anything to add on Pumphreys, Nathan or Dan?
No.
I think he's a late. He's. I mean, he's worth a stash, I guess, but I don't see him having the upside to contribute year one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's totally fair, but you're getting him at such a price tag that if you can stash him, that's not the end of the world if he doesn't contribute. I'll throw out a name, and it's somebody who's kind of been a darling and certainly is not an unknown person who's pretty much drafted in every single rookie draft. And actually, I just saw a positive blurb about him, and I was hoping to, you know, like, continue sneaking him on all my teams. But Josh Reynolds of the Rams is a player who really piques my interest as far as a player with high upside that you can stash for essentially free.
Yeah, he was a target of mine definitely early on in Dynasty drafts, you know, right after the NFL draft happened and the month following or so. I was kind of targeting him just about as many times as I could throughout all of my leagues in that third round, you know, early fourth range. Just, you know, you pile those picks up as throw-ins from other trades. And it's easy to take shots on guys like that because there is that big-time upside. And there, at the time, there wasn't a lot in L.A. Now, you know, Cooper Kupp, you have Sammy Watkins there. So it changes things a little bit, but I still think as we're looking at stashes, he kind of fits that build nicely.
Yeah, he does everything different than those guys that you mentioned. You know, being he's lean, but he's tall, he's fast, he's that big vertical threat that could be in there for the Rams. Runs a 4.52. You know, he had the third most touchdowns in SEC history, so he can score the football as well. I think Josh Reynolds is a real good stash.
Yeah, and I mean, what valuation? I guess let's go through the stashes here. And as far as valuations for picking up these players, what would be your max that you'd be willing to pay for Josh Reynolds if he's on somebody's roster?
I'd give a projected mid 18th.
Oh, that's high.
Yeah. I'd go random 18th. It doesn't random future third. It doesn't. You know, I don't think you're going to get much better of a dart throw because of what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I agree with Rich. The third seems a little high, but I guess I drafted him in one of my high stakes leagues and immediately got offered two thirds for I think I got him at the 312, and I immediately got offered two thirds for him in response to that. So
yeah, if you like Josh Reynolds, I mean, you could right now you probably would have to pay a third because we just had a rookie draft not too long ago. But by the end of this season, if we go into the fall and we're talking next year's class, I bet you can get Josh Reynolds cheaper because he ain't going to do anything this year whatsoever. So he's going to kind of fall off that radar just a little bit enough where you probably can get him a little bit cheaper.
I think you guys are overestimating the trade value of a future third-round rookie pick a little bit. I mean, a guy who was taken in the mid-third of a rookie draft, yes, they brought in Sammy Watkins, but it's not like his value has absolutely plummeted. It's more of just there's less of a window of, okay, there's not less of a chance that he contributes year one. But, you know, he still is pretty much the same prospect he was before Sammy Watkins came in.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to contribute all this year. I mean, they have Tavon Austin as their deep threat out there. Robert Woods is going to play. Sammy's going to play.
I agree. I was about to, you know, say, yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of Reynolds right now at his price, but if I can get him for basically what I paid for him, but, you know, wait a year on it, I'll do that now. I don't think that he's, you know, worth less than a fourth round rookie pick or anything like that.
That's fair.
Anybody else got any deep stashes? Anybody who just have the other stash that I have is not really that deep. And, it's actually it was when I was thinking about this segment, I was listening to Rich's show on my drive home. Losing my mind, by the way, laughing in my car, nearly crashing it as you're like blurting out things at Dynasty Matt. It was awesome. But you actually stole one of my stashes. You guys talked about Mike Wallace as a player who's a really, it's certainly not that deep, but somebody who's definitely frowned on by Dynasty Twitter, who's not that sexy of a name you could get for second round valuation. I'd say I can't imagine that even an early second. That's probably too much for Mike Wallace as far as Dynasty Twitter goes, but that's something that I think gives you production this year and potentially even next.
Yeah, I mean, he's had, out of his last eight seasons, seven of his last eight seasons have been top 28 finishes for Mike Wallace. I mean, fits what Joe Flacco does perfectly there. They have no tight end. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know who plays tight end for him at this point.
Well, Max Williams had a couple good catches tonight on Thursday.
He does, in fact, have two knees.
I forgot. I thought he was a unicorn. I can't even believe he exists.
Yeah, he finally makes the field.
Yeah, I heard his knee was a little bit more out, so I'm glad he played. Yeah.
Him and Laquon Treadwell are both complete ghosts.
Need something out there. Yeah, but Mike Wallace, yeah, I wouldn't. That's weird. It's funny that you even mentioned him as like almost of a stash when he should literally be starting on teams. I mean, if he's a top 28, that's a low end. That's a high end wide receiver three. And as far as I know, most teams start three wide receivers. So wide receiver three sounds pretty damn sexy to me.
Yeah, and it's the total disconnect between, because in redraft he is going to be drafted. He's probably drafted in like the sixth to eighth round of a redraft league. But that's kind of the disconnect of dynasty and redraft in that case, where and I don't even think he's that old. What is he? He maybe is 30 off the top of my head. And he's one of those guys that it's like, okay, in dynasty, he's got 2 years left probably. And that's for paying a very cheap valuation. If you can get him for a third, that's literally stealing.
Isn't it? I mean, if you're like Ted Ginn falls in that category too. And it's funny too. I always talk about this as well when it comes to dynasty, where people are like, oh man, he's only got 2 years left of, you know, quality production. It's like, dude, that's 2 years. That's two titles. Yeah. That's two titles you can win. So many people are like, when they look at dynasty, like, oh, I need 8 years of production. Like, who the hell is giving you 8 years of production on the norm? Those guys are like, there's like 16 guys in the entire NFL that you can count on like that. Like, I'll take 2-3 years of guys every day of the week. That's why we say hashtag 2-3 year windows for these running backs, because so many people are like, well, I need 7 years of production. Dude, give me two titles in a row and I'm going to be one happy camper.
Yeah, no, we are of the same mind in that sense, because you know you were getting 8 years of production out of Trent Richardson the second year after he came out. You're getting, I mean, Todd Gurley right now might be falling into that category too. I don't personally agree with that, but that just shows how quickly that people can fall. What's that?
Nathan rolled his eyes so hard they almost went out his window.
All right. Let's move on to the next segment.
Hold on. Right, I got some rebuttal ahead. on this Mike Wallace business.
Oh, you're not into the Mike Wallace business.
You know what? I was all over it to start the off season, buying everywhere as much as I could. So now we've got Jeremy Maclin in town. We've got a potentially healthy Breshad Perriman. But now you have.
Is that really true? He's potentially healthy.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. He's an enigma. That's not true.
Breshad Perriman's hurt right now. He's hurt.
Perfect.
He's that grade two hammy. He's out for a month or until at least week one.
You know who else is hurt? The only person that matters in this equation, and that's Joe Flacco. I'm almost going to guarantee that he misses at least a couple weeks of the season. They've been way too eerily optimistic about him. Same thing with Andrew Luck in Indy. He's not all right. It's going to be a gong show there for a bit until he gets back 100%.
Well, now my feelings are hurt too.
I have this weird stretch of arguing with people that are significantly smarter than me, but I have to do it once.
Yeah. That Joe Flacco takes pretty strong. Like you said, if he misses time, because if Ryan Mallett's back there, praise the football
guys. Game over. Then I'm out on everybody.
Colin Kaepernick will be called if that's what's happening.
You better hope so.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Mallett probably wins the award for best quarterback while intoxicated, honestly. Probably what he does. Like right behind, like Ryan Leaf's like, no, wait, hold my beer. But no, he's right there.
Jesus, Ryan Leaf mentioned in 2017.
Yeah.
Got it down, folks.
Okay.
The Baltimore Ravens may be lost without Joe Flacco, but you know what the trade cast would be lost without? RealitySportsOnline.com.
I knew that was coming.
Have you ever wished you could be an NFL general manager? Well, now you can, thanks to Reality Sports Online, a powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. Reality Sports Online was created by former NFL front office personnel and features a revolutionary free agency auction room, which mimics NFL free agency, enabling fantasy owners to negotiate and sign the NFL's top talent to single or multi-year contracts. The platform can host up to 32 teams and has tons of other cool features in addition to free agency, like a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, injured reserve, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Test your general manager skills today. Yes, your skills, Dan. Your skills, Eric. Test those skills with our 14-day trial at realitysports.com. If you like what you see, use the promo code TRADECAST10 to receive a 10% discount on your team today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com.
All right, and we'll be right back after this message. Okay, and welcome back. We are now going to play two truths and one lie on all of the players who had big news on them this past week. So I'll kick over to Nathan, who has Jordan Matthews.
All right. Here are some facts about Jordan Matthews and one lie. Jordan Matthews is the all-time SEC receiving leader in yardage. He has 22% of the Eagles' receiving yards during his career. And his yards per catch has increased in each NFL season so far.
All right, what was the first one, Nathan?
He is the all-time SEC receiving leader in yards.
I feel like you're trying to rope-a-dope me. I'll go with his yards per catch have gone up each year is the lie.
Man, I know nothing about Jordan Matthews. All-time SEC leader in yardage?
I feel like it's bait. Don't take it. It's definitely bait.
I feel like that's true. I don't know why that kind of sticks with me for a little bit, but
I feel like it's bait. I agree. Rich can just pull from the vast knowledge that he has. So that's actually kind of cheating. Come to think of it,
and the middle one was 22% of the Eagles' receiving yards in the last 3 years during his career.
Yeah, that's a fact. I'm with Eric. I'm gonna go with the last one.
Yeah.
Was that the one he got? He's gained more yards every single year.
No, more yards per catch.
Oh. Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll ride the coattails.
All right, he's coming in.
And my history as it being a terrible liar that people can always detect continues because that was the lie.
Yep, you're a bad poker player. You got to balance that range, man.
All right, well, let's talk about some Jordan Matthews real quick as a result of the trade. His RotoViz calculator trade calculator score is at 18 right now. That is on a scale of 0 to 100. In comparison, guys like Odell Beckham are around that 93 range, so basically, it's like four Jordan Matthews to get one Odell Beckham.
I would not. That's I believe as Rich calls it a turd sandwich. If I know correctly.
But I don't think that Jordan Matthews is a turd sandwich right now. I mean, we'll talk about
Tyrod. For Odell is
what?
I said four for Odell would be a turd sandwich.
Yes, I would not be trading Odell for Jordan Matthews. But I do think that Jordan Matthews is an interesting buy right now. I think that his stock has dropped going because people look at the thing, oh, the Eagles gave up on him by trading him to Buffalo. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think it's more of the case of just trading a guy that's on his contract years. Goodness.
Well, it's not like they gave him away. They got Ron Darby.
Yeah, true. So basically, I like Jordan Matthews a lot, you know, entering free agency. Hopefully he doesn't stay with Buffalo because I'm not a huge Tyrod fan long term, but I do think that he's a solid buy right now, especially if he's, you know, at that 18 price range.
Yeah, as far as my take on him, I already gave it, but I think it could be a nice fit with Tyrod, slot receiver for a guy who really likes and covets that that ability to bail out and in broken plays. I think he's a nice fit for Tyrod.
Yeah, Tyrod, the Bills in general, but mostly Tyrod, worked best with interior guys. I mean, you see, when you watch Tyrod, there's a lot of times when he doesn't really take the chance, and he doesn't turn the ball over a ton. He's kind of he kind of restrains himself from taking the big shots. You know, we saw those big highlight plays with Sammy the last couple of years, but it's you know, he protects the ball and he doesn't take chances. It's just kind of a ho-hum unless he takes off with his feet. So I think having J-Matt there, having Bolden there really works with Tyrod a lot. So I actually really like J-Matt, especially at this valuation. I think if you can go out and get him for that, I'd be more than happy doing so as your wide receiver four or something.
Rich, do you want to do your Jordan Matthews impression?
Hey, guys. I'm so glad you traded for me. Just got here about, 5 minutes ago? Oh, my God, I'm hurt. Oh, my sternum. Oh, I'm going to call 911. That's amazing.
Yeah. He chipped his sternum and is not out for the season. As a human, I mean, just like if your buddy chipped his sternum, you'd be like, dude, I'm very sorry that your entire life is now ruined. But like,
I didn't even know you could chip your sternum. I didn't even know it was even possible.
I don't even know what a sternum is.
Nathan's the teacher out of the group. Shame on you, Nathan.
For those of you golf fiends, Brant Snedeker is also out indefinitely with a sternum issue. So thoughts to Brant Snedeker.
Thanks. And that is your local golf pro is now telling you how He's now invading my podcast. Perfect. That's great, Dan. Thank you for that. All right, well, let's move on to Dan's player here. Why don't you give us your two truths and a lie on your boy?
All right, Mr. Tyrod Taylor. So in high school, we all love Tyrod, except for Nathan because he's weird.
That's my college quarterback, man. That's my quarterback, dog.
You're a Va Tech guy? You're a Hokie?
He was actually my quarterback.
Sweet.
Okay.
Okay. So in high school,
go ahead.
All right. In high school, Tyrod ran for almost twice as many yards as he threw for in his entire career after transitioning to QB from running back his senior year. Next fact. Only 10 quarterbacks have ever thrown for 3,000 yards and rushed for 550 in a season. Five have done it twice, or at least twice. Tyrod is one of those guys. And the final fact, he owns the Buffalo Bills' single-game completion percentage record of 91.7%.
All right, the lie is the 91.7%, because that's definitely Fitzmagic who has that one.
Okay.
I can repeat any if you need.
Yeah, well, I mean, Nathan seems too confident. That's nerve-wracking. I might have to ride his coattails, but that's dangerous business. No, tell me the first two again.
The first one was, in high school, Tyrod ran for almost twice as many yards as he threw for in his career after transitioning from quarterback to running back his senior year. The next one was, only 10 quarterbacks have ever thrown for 3,000 and rushed for 550 in a single season. Five have done it more than two times. Tyrod is one of them.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and call bullshit on the second. And the reason being is I think you're fudging stats. So I think it's close to that, but not exactly right.
Okay, Rich?
Yeah, I'm terrible at this game. I would feel you ran those stats off like you read them off a piece of paper, so I'd have to say that's true. In the 90, and I thought I heard Tyrod had like one of the highest Buffalo Bills percentage things, so I don't even remember what you said the first time around, so I'm going to go with the first one.
All right. Across the board, we have a buckshot situation here.
You guys spread it out. You got it covered. Actually, Rich won. The lie was the high school one. So he actually played quarterback all 4 years, and he actually threw for twice as many yards as he rushed for. So it was all sorts of lies built into one.
I'm a natural.
That's you're very well good done. At this. All right. Well, I've got – I guess let's talk about his value real quick. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there that I've always been a Tyrod believer. I'm in complete homer status. So he was like a stellar college quarterback who brought Virginia Tech many glories. And by that, I mean bowl game wins, nothing that sexy. But he's the guy who I've always kind of believed in. And when he was playing for that Bills starting job, I kind of believed in him to take it over. So Bills don't seem to love him, but I really don't see that many flaws in his game. And I think he's at least – he's an above-average NFL quarterback, and he is a well-above-average fantasy quarterback. So he's always a guy I want on my team.
This may not make sense in the post-Sammy Watkins news with Tyrod, but his Roto-Viz trade calculator price, it's at 10 out of 100 at 1 QB – 27 out of 100 in 2 QB. And I'm much more of a buyer at that one quarterback price because I'm less worried about the future when it comes to one quarterback leagues because you can always find a replacement in the rookie draft or trade a mid-second, late-second round rookie pick for a veteran. So I'm not as willing to, you know, make the long-term investment at that 27 out of 100 valuation in two quarterback leagues, but I'm fine with investing him in one quarterback.
That's fair. I mean, obviously, that one quarterback price seems pretty low, but quarterbacks in general are obviously lower in one QB. I'm all in on Tyrod this year. I think we're going to see him kind of really blow up, not necessarily like go crazy in like QB1 overall or anything like that, but he's coming off the board in that like QB 18 to 20 range, and that just feels really low to me. I've got him as a high-end QB2, I believe. Maybe even a low end one in my overall dynasty stuff. So, I like what he brings to the field. He's got that rushing upside, which is huge. The floor is at like whatever I mentioned in my two truths and a lie of like 550 yards plus like six more touchdowns off of that. He doesn't turn it over. It seems like he's kind of foolproof for a floor at least.
I like Tyrod. I'm somewhat. Here's what I'm worried about Tyrod. You know, the long term commitment by the Bills.
Yeah.
The loss of Sammy Watkins, now his receivers are, you know, Anquan Boldin, Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews, already got the chip sternum. You know, I like Jordan Matthews. I'm a fan of him, but he still hasn't proven anything to me yet. Anquan Boldin has, you know, we don't know what he's really going to do this year. And I'm a huge Zay Jones fan, but, you know, Zay Jones to me is more going to be down, you know, year two, year three. So what's the long-term commitment? Definitely this deep quarterback next class coming out next year in Buffalo. I think his legs are his greatest asset, but I am somewhat worried about Tyrod this year because I even today on my show, I was talking about him being one of my sleepers for this year at the quarterback position, but I do have some I'm a little bit worried about him long-term value.
Yeah, I mean, the he's just a – like he really is one of those quarterbacks that has immense upside when you start him any given week. And for that, I think he's worth a spot on your roster because the quarterbacks are in one QB leagues, especially one quarterback leagues, there's you can have four QBs on your roster. He's the kind of guy who at least has a appealing upside if you feel like you're a dog in any given week. And I don't think that's going away, even if his situation changes, Rich. I don't think, like, if he gets traded to a different situation, which other than, like, I don't know, the Jets maybe comes to mind as being, like, literally the worst-case possible scenario ever. But, I mean, if he ends up in a situation that, say, Kirk Cousins goes somewhere and then he gets traded to Washington or is a free agent, goes to Washington, something like that, I mean, that's the kind of deal where, like, if he ends up in an okay situation, I think he's already proven he can make an okay situation fantasy valuable.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, I like Tyrod Taylor. It's just there's a lot of question marks there too. I mean, I traded him in a month ago during a rookie draft for a second round pick to move up into the second round.
In a one QB?
What's that? Yeah,
for one QB.
A guy that really needed a quarterback. I gave him like the last pick in the third round to move up. I had Jameis and, you know, Matt Stafford, so I was okay to do it. But yeah, I'm just somewhat worried. You know, definitely if he moves teams, new system, he is going to start getting up there in age at the same time. And we don't see a lot of success if quarterbacks start playing, you know, merry-go-round out there in the NFL. So I'd be more happy if he stays there in Buffalo and they build around Zay Jones and maybe they get another receiver, either free agency, a guy like Terrell Pryor, or somebody else in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, and those are all very valid points. All right, let's move on to my guy. It is Ezekiel Elliott. So I couldn't find anything nice to say about Ezekiel Elliott, so I'll say nice things about his family. So my truth and my lies are all based around his family.
I have his jersey hanging up about 10 feet over from it.
All right. Yeah, I guess you're an Ohio State guy, so that would be that wouldn't be shocking. All right, so maybe you'll know the answers. Maybe you know his parents. Maybe you're good friends. All right, so both my two truths and a lie. Here we go. Both parents were collegiate athletes. He bought his parents a steer upon going into the NFL. His grandfather played collegiate sports as well.
I know for a fact that both his parents were collegiate athletes. I know that for a fact.
I don't think there's any chance he bought someone a steer. That's, you know, it's just stupid enough where it's probably a fact and his grandpa didn't play, you know, collegiate sports. But I got to go with the steer thing just because it's so ridiculous and I want to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, he's from St. Louis. So do they have farms in St. Louis under the Ark? I've been there once.
I don't know, man. You're going to have to remember. Do his parents still live in St. Louis? That's really the question, man.
That's true. Did he buy him a farm too? Did the steer come with a farm? Yeah, I'd go steer too.
All right, here's my theory. Okay. Holy. His grandpa was an Olympian, or grandparent, or whichever the answer was an Olympian, but not a college athlete. So Eric's trying to trip us up. He bought him a steer because he's a cowboy. So grandpa. Ooh. Is a
wow. Nathan Ooh. Thought about this.
Whoa. All right. Well,
Sherlock Holmes pile over there.
Yeah. Nathan fell into the leveling trap that I wanted you guys to fall into, which there's no way I'm bad enough at this game to actually make up a ridiculous stat like he bought his parents a steer. And you guys actually just you guys are like level one poker players where you just didn't even think about it. You're like, I have a pair. I call. So kudos to you. He did not buy his parents a steer. But I did make Nathan believe that he bought his parents a giant horned cow. So, ha-ha.
Yeah, that's what they do in Texas.
The cowboy. Right, that was actually.
I was like, oh, maybe he did buy him.
That's what I was going for. Well, I originally had boat written down, and I was like, no, boat's silly. We're gonna go with something. I'm gonna make him believe something completely outrageous. And
yeah, boat's way more silly than steer.
Well, that's like that's yeah, silly in the sense that like it's actually stupid and like kind of believable. So
well, that's the point. You're supposed to hide the line, not just be like,
I wanted to make you guys believe something ridiculous, and I succeeded with Nathan.
You know what's ridiculous? Ezekiel Elliott's trade value post. I don't understand why people are still valuing him as like a first round startup pick. He's a running back.
First round startup pick, you don't think he belongs there?
No, I think he belongs in like the mid second of a startup.
Whoa.
High second.
I disagree. I mean, I'm not high on him, but he is still a late first for me.
He is another domestic violence incident from being banned for life.
Yeah, but the odds of that happening are slim to none. That's like
really? How many players have been resuspended? Martavis Bryant has been resuspended.
Where would you take Le'Veon Bell?
Justin Black has been resuspended.
Where would you? Because I agree with this. Because I actually think that everybody overreacts, and then like the dynasty value of players who do this stuff like is people overreact and then forget it even happened, and the answer is somewhere in the middle there. And I just feel like dynasty Twitter, like Le'Veon Bell's worth everything now. Martavis Bryant's shooting up the board. It's short term memory, and now Ezekiel Elliott's going for free. You can get him for like
an. He's not going for free at all.
There's been some insane trades with him, man.
I saw a couple of those trades. I saw Ryan McDowell tweet some trades out that, and I was like, "What the hell are people thinking, making that? Like, what are you doing?"
I think that any decrease in Zeke's price for the most part isn't factoring in the possibility of future suspension / future banishment from the NFL. The people who are saying, "Oh, I dropped down," Zeke are saying, "Oh, I don't get him for six games this year." So,
Where would you take Le'Veon Bell?
Like late first.
Okay,
Le'Veon
Bell is one smoke of pot away from a year suspension, not a banishment from the NFL.
Yeah, but how many guys do you know? Then let's just throw this out there. How many guys do you know that smoke pot and then suddenly quit and never ever touch it again ever? Like again,
but we're going down the wrong way.
Ricky Williams didn't do that.
How many guys
he came back?
Him? Dude, I have a couple of friends that have some ends with some high profile athletes in baseball and in football. No names, please. But everybody smokes weed. Everybody. I know somebody in the World Series, and I'm like, he's like, yeah, he's smoking. He's like, he's sitting there saying, yeah, he's like 85% of that Major League Baseball smokes weed. I'm like, wow, really? He's like, yeah, everybody does. He's like, what else are we going to do? We sit in hotels all day. I'm like, all right, that makes sense.
But – yes, it's very likely that the guys with weed suspensions get suspended again. But, I mean, we don't really have anything to back up the likeliness of a guy with a domestic violence suspension being suspended again. And I think completely dismissing that it could happen is a mistake.
You can't just – yeah, I agree not dismissing it. I think the odds are unlikely. And we still don't even know if that's even true. I mean, he wasn't even convicted on it, so we don't even know if that even really happened.
Yeah, and I mean, and he's going worth mentioning. He's going through the appeals process right now, so he'll likely get his suspension reduced, and then there's even a chance that he gets it completely like dismissed altogether, which I think is unlikely given the state of the NFL, but still could it's in the range of possibilities.
You know, Johnny Manziel uses Heisman Trophy as his blunt holder.
Is that really true? That's incredible.
That's a blunt holder. That is 100% fact.
All right.
What's a blunt holder?
That's a
high
trophy.
Blunt.
Yeah.
Blunt.
Smoke marijuana, Nathan. I'll explain it to you if you ever come visit Denver.
All righty. Just to further the talk on Zeke and his dynasty trade value, on the RotoViz dynasty trade calculator, which you can get with a subscription to RotoViz, it is currently at 91 out of 100. So I don't think that the calculator has really accounted for the dip post suspension news. But if you can get that price for him, I'm definitely selling.
Yeah, do you remember when Le'Veon Bell was suspended for six games or whatever, how many games it was?
Yep.
It's kind of the same exact process. Everybody's like, oh, you know, Le'Veon Bell, same thing. Oh, one more suspension, and he's out for the year, and everybody's trading him away. Now look at him. Everybody wants him.
It's short-term memory loss in Dynasty, and I actually wrote an article on this with Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon's like the example I used in that. And three times this happened where he shot up. He was a first-round startup pick, then dove down after his suspension, then shot back up to a second-round overall startup pick, dove down after his suspension, and then jumped back up to like a third round upon reinstatement before completely busting out of the league. But it's like Dynasty owners have complete memory loss on these guys being actual human beings, and they get so excited by the upside that they get so emotional and make emotional decisions. So we preach on this show not to make emotional dynasty decisions and let news sit for a couple weeks before you make some type of decision, but it's cyclical. So if you have Zeke and now you're worried about him, you're worried about him being a terrible human being or hitting somebody again. If you're worried about those particular items, sit on him for the next 6 weeks, wait for the hype to grow, and then sell him then. But it's easier said than done.
And how many people have really been suspended forever? I mean, how many people have really been kicked out of the league?
Justin Blackman. And
yeah,
Justin,
I was about to say Justin Blackman. Yeah, that's
I mean, Justin Blackman, he got real fat and didn't even want to try it. He found donuts and cake, and he's like, I'm out.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the last one, Rich. Do you have together two truths and a lie for Sammy Watkins?
Even though I never even knew this game existed, thrown this on to me 25 minutes ago. But you guys said, "Hey, you have Sammy Watkins for two truths and a lie," and I'm like, "What the hell is that?" And you're like, "This is how it goes." I'm like, "All right." So in the time frame, I have come up with a little something something on Sammy Watkins. Are you ready for it?
We're ready.
All right. Over Sammy Watkins' career, he has averaged over 16 yards per reception. In 2015, despite playing 13 games, he had over 1,000 yards receiving. He averages at least 9 yards per attempt, per target.
All right, I'm going to say the middle one is a lie, and it's going to be like off by like 987 compared to 1,000.
Oh, I feel like it's one of the first. It's the first or the third that's a lie, in my opinion. I'm going to go with the first one is what everybody wants to believe Sammy Watkins does. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to say Sammy Watkins, number one, is wrong.
All right, we'll cover the spread. I'll take the last one just because that seems like a pretty big number.
Wow, it is a big number, but you know, they're all very close, but Dan, you would be the winner because Sammy Watkins has over his career averaged 16.1 yards per reception. In 2015, despite playing only 13 games, he had 1,043 yards, and he averages actually, even though I said 9, he actually averages 8.9 yards per target. Wow.
That's ridiculous.
You want to know why? Because Sammy Watkins is a damn stud. Because all of a sudden he's going to Rams. He's a damn good football player. And if you can buy him low, you need to go out there and trade for him. I love Sammy Watkins. And you'd be silly not to try to go out there and get him.
All right, wait.
Send all of your Sammy Watkins hate mail to @DynastyRich.
Yeah. Wait. I want to hear actually, because that's an interesting take, Rich, and I know you are. I know you're a Sammy Watkins guy. Right now, what would be your max value? Like, what would be the max you'd be willing to pay with him going to the Rams? I assume it had to have lowered your value on him a little bit due to the uncertainty, but maybe not. I guess what would you say your max value would be?
Yeah, why would it? You know, you're talking about a team that has a good defense. He's going to be the number one receiver there. You know, Jared Goff, he's the biggest concern there. But guess what? Sammy Watkins is essentially – now, granted, they're not going to let him walk. He is a free agent after this year. So if anything, they're going to tag him. But it doesn't concern me. What would I pay for him? I'd give up – we all agree this 2017 rookie class, right up there, that Odell Beckham class, one of the best we've ever seen. I'd give up 1-1 for Sammy Watkins in this rookie class.
In 2017's rookie class. In
2017, yeah. So Corey Davis or Fournette, whoever you want there, I'd give up one. He's that good. I mean, I just read out those numbers to you. When he is healthy, he is an excellent footballer. He knows how to separate. He can run really good routes. He has really good hands. He can get separation. Jared Goff had a terrible year last year. But listen, Todd Gurley couldn't even run the ball in that offense. And Todd Gurley's not a bad running back, but in that offense, he struggled. He had no receivers last year. You're talking about Tavon Austin? That guy, you're talking about a poop sandwich. That guy, when you look up, his picture that shows up there, the highest paid poop sandwich I've ever seen. So, I mean, Jared Goff has had no weapons. You can't just jump on quarterbacks because they had a bad rookie year. Hell, Peyton Manning had a terrible rookie year. Derek Carr had a bad rookie year. So, and I'm not saying Jared Goff's the next second, the second coming of those guys, but he just can't jump down the first overall pick just because he had one bad year. Sammy Watkins is going to make players better, okay? So the talent is there. Sammy Watkins' talent is not a question. Hey, remember, and I know Case Keenum was the biggest factor of this, but Kenny Britt had 1,000 yards in L.A. last year. So I don't think him going to Rams is a terrible, terrible thing. A lot of these high picks in NFL draft go to really bad teams. It's on them to make them better. So if Sammy Watkins is that bad, is that good, he will make the Rams offense better. And he hopefully will help Todd Gurley get a little better because that guy's on a poop sandwich roller coaster as well.
Let me hop in and say I'm not sure I would ever question Sammy's talent. The reason I have concerns about Sammy is the same concerns I have when teams are willing to get rid of their seemingly studs. It's two Trent Richardson in one podcast mentions, but like Trent going to a team seemed like, okay, that was stealing from the Browns, or I'm worried about Alshon for that. There's some issue there. I worry that, and Brandon Cooks is the same way. I kind of worry about these guys who get traded in these situations. And I worry that there's some like human issue behind that, or some injury issue behind that, that the team's kind of smoke screening, gets the trade off and is free of their asset. So I don't worry. Like I said, Sammy Watkins is not the concern. I don't have anything to quantify this, but it's just one of those things that like, it just kind of, my spider sense tingles when these guys end up in this situation.
I think he's more medical for me personally. We could all agree that, hey, yeah, it's definitely not the talent. The Bills couldn't have got rid of him just on the talent alone. Maybe they really like Zay Jones. I really like Zay Jones, and maybe they want to go a different direction. They didn't want to pay him a ton of money. Maybe they don't know what they're going to do, and maybe they're really concerned about that foot. I mean, we see these foot injuries can really hold back players, but Julio overcame. Jonathan Stewart didn't overcome. So, we don't know where it's going to go, and they thought, hey, we won't franchise them, and maybe we could trade them and get a quality player back, and that's what they ended up doing after not signing them long term. It's baffling to me about Sammy Watkins, how they let him go, because, again, I think he's a fantastic football player.
I think it's interesting when you dump a premium asset that you paid literally a bounty of NFL draft picks for, and you're just like, all right, year three, I guess we're done with him.
Yeah, maybe Buffalo's just stupid. I mean, they need to trade Darby, their top cornerback, away to Philly. What he just do tonight? I just picked him off, first quarter, no big deal.
So Nathan, before you finish this up, because we all know how much you love Sammy Watkins, I'm going to give just a couple of quick takes about Sammy. I actually really like the move out of Buffalo to LA. They don't really know how to use, deep threats. It's not really in Tyrod's game. We talked about it earlier. He works better with interior wide receivers. Zay can work outside, but he's a different kind of wide receiver than Sammy is. I do like Sammy in LA. I think he's like you just talked about. Kenny Britt had 1,000 yards there last year with terrible quarterbacking. We hope that Goff grows as a rookie. I think Sammy can do some damage there. And as far as like the injury goes, if it was something where it was like, well, he's hurt, let's get rid of him. He's not going to pass the physical for one if he's really that hurt. But at the same time, maybe Buffalo just didn't know what to do with him. They had Rex Ryan there and he was blowing smoke every which direction. So I think that's one positive, is getting away from any sort of coaching issues. He gets to go to LA without Jeff Fisher. So I think it's going to be a different environment. And like we talked about, again, we can't argue with that talent. He's a world-class wide receiver. And if he's healthy, he's top six probably in the NFL.
Yeah. I forgot about Jeff Fisher too. He could be a whole albatross around, Jared Goff's neck year one. Can't stare at that mustache all day long.
All right, Nathan, finish us off with your elite Sammy takes.
I will finish us off. I am forever the Sammy optimist, but I will say my immediate reaction to going from having Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback, who I don't love, but at least I know he can get the deep ball out and he can, run a legitimate offense, to going to Los Angeles with Jared Goff. It wasn't a positive reaction for me. I do have some Jared Goff shares still. So I was like, oh, maybe this could resurrect Jared Goff from being absolutely terrible. But I do think this does hurt Sammy in the short term. But much like we talked about last week with Allen Robinson being connected to Blake Bortles, if Jared Goff is as bad as he was in the rookie season, he's not going to be a starter pass this year. Yes, they invested two first-round picks, and yes, they can't afford to not have him as their future, but – it's only a matter of time. If you're an incompetent NFL quarterback, then the quarterback switches, or Sammy Watkins walks in free agency, he ends up getting a new quarterback anyway. So There are many ways to where he's not locked in with Jared Goff, and there's also the possibility of maybe he, you know, saves Jared Goff and makes him a legitimate quarterback.
All right. On that note, I will wrap up the show with a dynasty trade offer in a league I just received that is so legendarily bad. You hear that, Jason? It's so bad that I have to call you out on the air about it. He has offered me DeMarco Murray and his third for my Allen Robinson and my first.
What?
Well, Blake Bortles, bro.
Blake effing Bortles. All right. That is miserable. I have already hit decline. No, thank you. All right. And before we go, I want to remind everybody, you can support the pod by subscribing to rating the RotoViz radio channel on iTunes. Do that and you'll be eligible to compete against some RotoViz podcasters and writers in a $35 best ball league hosted by our friends over at the FFPC. The winner of each league will get a year-long RotoViz pass, which you can also get 30% off of if you go to our page. On top of a cash prize. So go to iTunes, leave a review with your name in it, then email us at rotovizradio@gmail.com to let us know that you want to be in the league, and we'll get that set up. Many thanks to Dynasty Rich for coming on the show. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
That was absolutely my pleasure. I'm so glad after all these months of waiting, they finally moved.
Absolutely. Well, at least you can lock horns with Nathan anytime you want. So, it was hopefully good to listen to there. So, thanks again for coming on the show. Make sure you go out and you follow Dynasty Rich. You can follow him on Twitter at Dynasty Rich. You can go see his website. That's dynastynerds.com. And you can listen to him every Wednesday. It's the Dynasty Nerds Dynasty podcast. You can find that on iTunes. Same places you can find our podcast, you can find his. So thanks again for coming on the show. And for Nathan, Dan, and myself, we will catch up with you guys next week.